In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. So for today, Wednesday, October 21st, that's a Feria. There's no saint assigned for today, but we do have two commemorations, one of St. Ursula and Companions, and one of St. Hilarion. St. Hilarion is the more, I would say, notable of the two, so we will talk about St. Ursula first. And she was an abbess of a group of nuns in early Britain in the 4th century, around the year 383. Now, she and her convent fled from the British Isles to Europe in order to escape being given in marriage to a company of Roman soldiers. For, of course, at that time, 383 AD, you've got the annexation of Britain to the Roman Empire and so on. So they flee that in defense of their virginity, and they eventually land in Cologne, Belgium. And so they established there a convent, very soon after they arrived, the city was besieged by the Huns, the barbarian Huns, and St. Ursula and all of her nuns were captured. And so once again, in defense of their virginity, defense of their vows of chastity, they bravely fought back against their captors. And this resistance so angered the Huns that they slew all of them. And thus, St. Ursula and Companions left their purity intact. And so St. Ursula herself was killed by being shot with arrows and is pictured as such in her icons, holding a palm with an arrow through her breast. So an interesting thing about these martyrs is that they were not martyred for the faith specifically, but they gave their lives in defense of their vows of chastity. And that is, not a teaching of the church, but a witness of tradition or a teaching from tradition that chastity, virginity, has always been held in such high regard that it is worth giving one's life to protect. And one of our own modern saints, Saint Gemma Galgani, is an example of that, right? That's why she lost her life, right, in defense of her virginity. So a great example from Saint Ursula and Companions from the earliest days of the church. And so now to speak of Saint Hilarion, he was again born our early father of the church, the year 291, one of the desert fathers, one of those very early mystics and ascetics who lived a life of incredible penance, incredible asceticism to be given as an example and an inspiration to the church ever since. So he was born in Palestine to noble parents. He was well educated as a boy, sent to a kind of a boarding school in the city of Alexandria in Egypt, I believe, yes. And it was there that he embraced the Catholic faith. He was only just a young lad of 13 or 14, but he embraced the Catholic faith, and he also heard of the fame of Saint Anthony of the Desert. And in admiration, went to visit him and ended up staying with him in the desert for 2 months. And so he returned to the city and spent much time in prayer and in churches. You know, other youths his age were involved in the arena, in the theater, and so on. But he spent his time in prayer. And so he was a very serious young man. And so when he was around 14, or rather 15 years old, his parents died. And they left all of their children a fortune. The young Saint Hilarion distributed his part of the fortune among his brothers and then among the poor, and then went out into the desert of Palestine. And he lived there for the next, lived this life for the next 65 years, enduring the greatest of hardships. He built himself a little hut out of reeds, scarcely large enough to hold him. He wore a hair shirt, which he never washed, and he changed it only after it fell apart. He ate each day a few figs and a half pint of lentils, and never ate before sunset. After several years, he switched his diet to dry bread with salt and water. And then eventually, much later on, because of old age, he perceived his sight was growing dim, and he was developing kind of a rash on his skin due to malnutrition, so he added a little oil to his diet. Quite the extravagant addition there. So he spends his days in prayer, in meditation, and the study of Scripture. And to support this meager existence, he would, during the day, would work by weaving baskets out of the reeds. And this didn't provide him with enough work, really, to satisfy him, to fulfill that, we would say, that goal of the monastic life of ora et labora, of prayer and work. So to have enough work for himself, he would spend the day, he would invented work for himself. He would he made sure to work during the hottest part of the day and would rake the ground, dig it up, fill it in again, just to give himself something to do. And it wasn't like he did busy work. He did hard physical labor, right? And again, he's not eating until the evening and then only just enough to survive. He endured extreme cold, extreme hunger, extreme everything that probably would have killed anybody in one of the rest of us if we tried to do it. And this is why we are told by the church that the lives of these early ascetics, the desert fathers, the fathers of the church, they're given to us more for our admiration than for our imitation. It's for many people physically impossible to imitate these penances. We admire it, and we certainly do try as much as we can to subdue the flesh to do penance. It's not impossible. In fact, that really is part of the legacy of these early saints, is when we are tempted to think that, oh, it's too much, oh, fasting is going to harm my health, we can look at the Desert Fathers and say, okay, well, they survived on basically nothing, I'm going to be fine. So it wasn't just physical austerities or difficulties. He also endured extreme temptations from the devil, visions of sumptuous feasts, terrible visions of impurities, and he also suffered extreme dryness in prayer, felt desolation, lack of devotion, tempted to despair. But he endured all these, right? He never let up on his austerities. He never quit his life. He endured. And that's so important, is that, you know, he suffered exterior trials, interior trials, penances on the outside, penances on the inside, but he kept going. Final perseverance, right? All the way to the end. That is such an important virtue. It's precisely at that moment we're tempted to give up. That's when we need to keep going. So, of course, someone of this kind of a life is not going to go unnoticed, despite the fact he's in the desert, trying to get away from human influence. But many other pious men gathered around him, desiring themselves to lead a holy life. And so these little communities kind of sprang up around him. And he endured it, but even pilgrims, people that didn't want to live the life but wanted to seek out and ask his advice or receive his counsel or to ask for prayers, kept seeking him out. And this eventually ended up becoming numbering in the thousands. And so he would retreat deeper and deeper into the desert to try to find solitude, and living either in huts or in caves, but people kept finding him out. And things weren't really helped by the fact that he was working miracles. He would heal the sick, he would drive out demons, give expert advice. And so it eventually came to the fact he scarcely had time to fulfill his religious duties, his meditations, and so on. So he bid his companions farewell and traveled to the Egyptian desert, where had lived actually Saint Anthony. But not too long after, people found him out there as well. And so after a number of years, he decided to just leave the continent of Asia Minor entirely, and he sailed across the Mediterranean to Sicily. There he continued his austerities, his hardships, and penances, but sure enough, he was not safe there either, and he was discovered there as well. So then he decided he's going to go to Dalmatia, there in the Adriatic Sea, but he was also found in the deserts of Dalmatia. So again, after several years, he's going to go to Cyprus. So he goes to Cyprus, this is it, nobody will find me here, and of course they find him there as well, so he finally just gave up. It's just not going to work. So eventually he died. He was in the 80th year of his age, which is actually can be kind of young for a hermit. Some of them lasted up to 120 years old, showing that it's not fasting that is bad for our health. It's not physical hardships that's bad for our health. It's luxury. Luxury is what is detrimental to us most of the time. It's that we eat too much. We are too soft on ourselves, and that is what hastens our demise. That's very interesting, and this is not just this is universally understood, we could say, by the wise. In fact, there was a ancient Egyptian hieroglyphs, And there's a rather amusing a translation they found in that it said that people, so that they translated the hieroglyphs, people generally live on 1/3 of what they eat. On the other 2/3 lives their physician. So even understood by the ancient Egyptians that people eat too much, they pamper themselves, and that is what causes their ill health. So St. Hilarion died in the 80th year of his age, and as he lay dying, he endured even more temptations at the end, right? Fear and lack of confidence in God. And he was heard to say his last words, "Go out, my soul, go out. Of what are you afraid? You have served Christ for nearly 70 years, and do you now fear death? Go out." And so it was with these words that he passed from this life into the next. So what an example. As I mentioned, the example of these desert fathers, these mystics, putting us to shame. And it's been also said that in the ancients, I believe this was either Alphonsus Liguori or Louis de Montfort. I'm pretty sure it was Alphonsus. He said that the ancient fathers, such as Hilarion, they feared hell, and they did so much, and yet we do so little and have no fear of hell at all. What is our problem, right? This life is serious, and we need to take it seriously, and we have these saints, and they are there for our admiration, but they will also be an indictment against us. For when we go to heaven, we will be compared to Christ. And he himself spent 40 days in the desert, eating and drinking nothing. Eating nothing at least, fasting and undergoing hardships. What are we going to say? It's not like, you know, we want to compare ourselves to everybody else around us right now, but that's not what's going to happen in heaven. We will be compared to everybody who ever existed, and we're going to see the paltry, small amount that we did here on this earth, and it will be very embarrassing to us. So we need not to make excuses for ourselves in thinking that we do so much with our little small penances that we do, but constantly ask God, please give me the grace and the desire and the motivation to do more, to want to do more. And, you know, with this especially, we can't guilt ourselves into doing the maximum, right? Like we can't do that. But we should be able to guilt ourselves into raising our minimum. You know, this is what the Desert Fathers did. Here's the example of St. Hilarion. I can at least do a little bit more. I can do a little bit more. Maybe instead of undergoing hardships, I'll just forego a luxury. Right? That's a good place to start. But in the end, right, we should think that this will, this is not sanctity. Sanctity does not consist in hardships, in austerities, in asceticism, but that is part of sanctity, right? It is that which enables us to master our passions, which enables us to love God, right? We have to get over our disordered love of other things in order that our heart may be empty so that God can fill it with himself. That's why we do asceticism, not because it's good in and of itself, but because it's remedying a defect in ourselves, which is to love created things too much, to love ourselves and our own comfort to an excessive degree. It will also have that benefit of helping us to overcome temptations, right? As I said, St. Hilarion endured great temptations of hunger, of thirst, of impurities, and so on. We'll never be free from these, but by our fastings and hardships, we will be able to overcome them, right? That's that discipline that gave it to St. Hilarion along with the grace of God. So let us ask for this. Let us be confident. Let us ask for the love of God, the pure love of God, and that willingness to let go of our love for other things. St. Hilarion, pray for us. God bless you all. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.